Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Emily Scarlett. The human resource department, some say it's like the secret police of a company, knowing salaries, personal information, even pending layoffs. So what makes a good HR professional? The University of Michigan conducting the largest global study of human resource workers. And to get some answers on what they discovered, I'm joined by Wayne Brockbank. He's the co-director of the 2012 Human Resource Competency Study, a professor at the Michigan Ross School of Business, and the director of its Center for Strategic HR Leadership. Wayne, thank you for joining me.
I'm delighted to be with you.
Now, it seems that if you work in HR, you should be sworn to absolute secrecy. How do those that work in the Human Resource Department handle the pressure of knowing big and usually bad news, like who's getting laid off tomorrow?
That's a very useful question, and we've found some very important answers to that issue, both directly and more importantly indirectly, through our most recent iteration of the Human Resource Competency Study, who have actually been doing for 25 years. This is the fifth round of this survey. And this time it's truly gone global with over 20,000 respondents from China, India, Australia, Latin America, North America, Europe, Africa, from virtually every continent in the world. And what we've found is that HR professionals really are locked into two very different sets of expectations. One is they do have lots of information they have to manage carefully. They have to take care of payroll information, of benefits information, and we found that in the last 5 years, that HR's role in helping to ensure that the right kinds of information are gathered, that they're bundled in optimal ways, that they're interpreted in competitive ways that enable you to gain insights of what's going on in the business world relative to competition, and finally, utilization of critical information, is a role that that seems to be vacant in a lot of companies. But in the high-performing companies, HR professionals are stepping up to the plate and taking on that responsibility. And when that happens, the impact of HR professionals on business performance increases rather dramatically.
How much do HR professionals know about performance as compared to managers? Do you think they know more sometimes than the supervisors of workers?
Certainly they have access to more information on an information-wide perspective than almost anybody else outside of the CEO and perhaps the CFO. So that certainly is the case. They may not have the depth knowledge that individual managers might have for their individual people, but from an organizational systems-wide perspective, that's certainly the case.
Now, there's the administrative aspect, which you outlined, but it isn't kind of the most stressful and sometimes the most controversial aspect of their job is when they're dealing with inner office conflicts?
Well, that's another very interesting issue. It depends how you define inner office conflict. That can happen both within departments, but also can occur across departments. And one of the things that we've found that, again, is a very important shift in the role of HR professionals in high-performing companies is the shift from their working within departments on small teams and resolving conflicts, which they still have to do, to figuring out how to help the organizational whole to be greater than the sum of the parts, how to get business units to cooperate, to leverage information, to work together in harmonious ways, such that they create competitive advantage relative to competitors. So that's another one of those basic shifts we're seeing in expectations of HR professionals.
So are companies really utilizing HR in an effective way to improve their performance in this way?
That's a loaded question. What we're finding is that's true in the high-performing companies. In the low-performing companies, that's not happening. When we first presented our data several years ago, we announced in front of this audience of about 1,300 people that these are the competencies and agendas that differentiate HR professionals in the high performing firms and those in low performing firms. So this is not everybody's doing this because by definitions it's a competitive differentiator. In the middle of that of that presentation, somebody in the middle of this very large audience stood up and said, "Well, Professor Brockbank, that's not the way we're doing things in my company." Well, he really put me in a bind, because I'd already explained that this is not what's happening in low performing companies, and I was kind of stuck in front of 1,300 people. So I had to say, "Sir, the only thing I can conclude is you might not be working for a high performing company." And he sat down.
Hopefully that elicited a laugh from the audience.
Yeah, it did. But I didn't mean to embarrass him, but that was the reality of the situation.
I'm talking to Wayne Brockbank, the co-director of the University of Michigan's 2012 Human Resource Competency Study. He's a professor at the Michigan Ross School of Business and the director of its Center for Strategic HR Leadership. So what about the personal aspects of the job? I mean, is HR consulted in any way when it comes to which employees are most productive or least productive, or which ones fit best into the organization?
They certainly have. If they're not, then they certainly should be, if assuming they have the capability to do that. Again, in the high-performing firms, we found that HR professionals are in touch with the business, not just in terms of what the business requires, but what kind of positions and individuals within positions are adding the greatest value to helping the company be successful. So as trusted advisors to senior executives, HR professionals have that kind of information and knowledge and insight to know how to leverage both the high-performing employees, but also how to identify and either fix or remove employees who fail to live up to the expectations of their customers and their markets.
You know, people, they get laid off, which, of course, is a very common occurrence nowadays. The question always comes up as to who really decided that I was the one chosen. You know, when you see, let's say, 10% layoff in a company, how much of a say does the HR department typically have as compared to the managers for whom these people work for?
Well, certainly the managers have ultimately the final voice in those kinds of decisions. A competent and effective HR professional will bring a process and a logic to bear to ensure that politics, personal preferences of the political nature are not allowed to enter into the decisions around who, in this kind of difficult situations, who stays and who has to leave, if the assuming the company has to undergo layoffs in order to keep its business alive.
There is no oath of any kind, is there, that human resource professionals take? They do know a lot of information that's very personal about employees. How much are they obligated to not tell anybody about that?
Oh, that's a great question. What we've found is that the most competent HR professionals clearly have an expectation to treat their to function with a high degree of integrity relative to the information to which they're exposed and to which they have access, and their ability to be seen as a trusted advisor is substantially undermined if they fail to live up to the expectations of integrity and being totally trustworthy in the accessing and utilization of that kind of information. So that's a great question and very important one for HR professionals.
They say don't kill the messenger, although when it comes to the real dirty work of a company, HR unfortunately is left to do that type of thing, which includes firing, laying people off. Is that considered the most stressful aspect of a human resource professional's job?
A good human resource professional has a balance in his or her life in both being absolutely knowledgeable and skillful out for the business, but also being sensitive with insight and understanding about the total human side of the business, what makes it work, function, and integrate as a human whole. And so HR professionals really have to have, I believe, that fundamental sensitivity to people, but their first obligation is to their customers and to the company as a whole, and not to any one specific individual.
Wayne Brockbank, the co-director of the University of Michigan 2012 Human Resource Competency Study. He's a professor at the Michigan Ross School of Business and the director of its Center for Strategic HR Leadership. Wayne, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. It was delightful to visit with you.
And we'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.